is a image of Swift Creek, and it's part of a show that I did in 2011 that was at the Pratt Museum, and it was a series of 23 images that were depicting Kachemak Bay, all the mountain range from Fox River Creek to the Ring of Fire. And this one was just one of the images that the museum chose. Each painting I tried to focus on different patterns in the water, because all of them had the same amount of space that was water in the compositions to make them all fluid. And this one was ice, so that's what you were seeing, is like the tiled ice that I tried to just make square blocks of ice.
And how did it feel to be selected to be in this exhibit that's traveling around?
Well, it's very flattering, of course, and to be a part of with some of these artists is something that really surprises me. It's very, very flattering is the way I can feel it. And I just can, when I look at the diversity in Alaska, the artists are so individual, where coming from San Francisco, people go through cliques and they want to do the same thing and everyone, but it feels here, people are very different. Everyone, it's very diverse. The different art that you see in this show particularly is just exciting that people go on their own paths here in Alaska.
So definitely a lot of individualists here in Alaska, and that shows in the selection of art. So let's go back to Scott. Let's talk a little bit about that. I understand, at least yesterday, you were in the process of putting this show together. Are you still doing that over there?
Yes, we're still putting the show together.
So what is this going to be like when people walk into the Pratt?
It's going to be a beautiful collection of art. It's a large collection. There's 25 pieces traveling that were selected by Sven Håkansson. And then this collection is all drawn from pieces acquired by the Rasmussen's Art Acquisition Initiative, which is a statewide program which provides funds for museums in Alaska to purchase contemporary artworks. So there's a huge collection at museums across the state. So as it travels, this traveling exhibit of 25 pieces visits different museums. Those museums each have their own Rasmussen acquisition purchases, and those pieces are going to supplement this. So we have the 25 pieces that are traveling, and then we're adding 10 pieces additionally from our collection.
All right, so there'll be this selection plus a bunch of other art that you have. That has that been on display yet, or is this the debut for that? Or
I think everything's been exhibited before. We generally do a new acquisitions exhibit in the winter. Right now, there's a new acquisitions exhibit in the art gallery on the lower level of the Pratt Museum. A lot of the, the vast majority of contemporary art in the Pratt collection has been acquired through this fund. It's a really, it's an amazing opportunity and a tool for museums to acquire contemporary art. You know, there just aren't funds to do that otherwise, unless something is donated to the museum. So it's really been a rich source of collecting for the museum.
So we're talking contemporary art, and I understand there are some pieces that may look somewhat traditional. They're using traditional techniques in this. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, the exhibit is actually divided into three sections. There's three different galleries, and this is how Sven divided it and how it was premiered at the Anchorage Museum a couple months back. And those groups are the Alaskan Environment, Alaska Native Art, and Contemporary Art. So there's really sort of three sub-galleries, and this will be the same at the Pratt Museum. And in that collection of Native Art, there are certainly pieces that reference and incorporate traditional techniques. So there's let's see.
I remember seeing in the catalog there was a beautiful beaded satchel or sort of a purse type of thing with a flower on it. But it was a modern piece.
Well, it's a cell phone case.
Oh, cool. I didn't realize. I was like, wow, that's so beautiful. And it looks traditional, but yeah, it's a cell phone case.
Yeah. There's, let's see, there's a great piece by Donald Varnell called A Logic Board, which is a, it's very much in a Tlingit style of carving, but it's very contemporary. It's the traditional styles, but it's not exactly the traditional forms. There's a piece by Ron Sanungatuk, who's a Homer artist, very well known across the state artist, and he's a wood carver, and he incorporates traditional techniques, but is very very contemporary, very beautiful contemporary work. So there's also a number of masks in different styles, varying degrees of what you might view as traditional or contemporary, but they cross those boundaries and incorporate different styles.
Sounds really beautiful. I can't wait to see it. Let's give out the phone number here for people who may have questions about this particular show, about this contemporary art. The local phone number here is 907-235-7721. You can also call toll-free to join in the conversation. That number is 1-800-979-5224. So quite an honor for Homer to be the second place right after Anchorage for this show to travel to. How did this exhibit come to Homer, and what does it mean to you to be the first place it's going outside Anchorage?
Well, we've been working with the foundation for many years, since the beginning of this program 10 years ago. And when this idea for a traveling exhibit came out a year ago, a bit over a year ago maybe, we were in conversation, from the beginning. It was designed as a traveling exhibit, and we have a long history. So it kind of grew up with us in concert, I think, as one of the sites. We're, certainly happy to lend artwork to travel as part of this show, and more than happy to host that exhibit when it came back around. It's always nice to be on the... that first venue or near the first venues, we can have the Kenai premiere of this exhibit.
So at this time, I think we're going to go ahead and go to a pre-recorded interview that I did with Sven Håkansson. Sven is the exhibit curator for this show, and he's also the curator at the Burke Museum in Seattle. And he's an associate professor of anthropology at the University of Washington. He's well known in Alaska. And he just couldn't be on live with us on the telephone because he happens to be on an airplane right now. But he was happy to talk about the exhibit. So we've talked a little bit about Sven. He put this together. He selected these 25 works. So let's just hear a little bit from him. Tell me about this Rasmussen Foundation show.
Living Alaska, a decade of collecting contemporary art for Alaskan museums, is an exhibit and show that will travel all around Alaska, but it's to highlight what the Rasmussen has been doing and helping museums do for not just our communities, but for artists in helping not just preserve, but promote arts, native and non-native, and when you come into the exhibit, it is a celebration of Alaskan art and artists. The exhibit itself is pretty amazing because it combines both native and non-native art together, so that we see the both traditional and contemporary art forms. The Pratt Museum, and when you go and look through the catalog that will be available at the exhibit, has provided a majority or a major part of the pieces, because the Pratt, and Homer should be proud of this, the Pratt has been very thoughtful about not just purchasing art, but acquiring art from all the artists, and it shows, and you can see that in the exhibit that's on display for the next 3 months. It started in Anchorage, It's been there for 3 months, and in Homer is the second venue. And then after that, it goes to Fairbanks, and then Juneau, Kodiak, and Unalaska.
So it's just been in Anchorage. So we're the second place.
Yes.
How is this exhibit different?
Well, we want to all say that all our exhibits are different and unique, and they are. What's fun about this exhibit is it is actually bringing pieces from museums across Alaska, and it shows the diversity of arts that are now being not just created but sold and made in Alaska. I guess the humble side coming out is like I don't know about it being unique, but it's more just, hey, Alaska, look at all the amazing artists and artwork that museums and your community members are making, and look around and see how beautiful not just the art is, but what museums are able to do with the right support.
Now, if I'm understanding correctly, you were involved in some of the gathering of these pieces?
This is one of the hardest things. It's like there was over 1,100 pieces that had been purchased since the creation of this Art Acquisition Fund in 2002 through Museums Alaska and Rasmussen Foundation. And when you have 1,100 pieces and you have to knock it down to 25 pieces to travel safely around Alaska, that was no easy task. And, you know, I have to say thank you to the Anchorage Museum, Angie Demma and Amy Steffian for, you know, all of our discussions and you know, even all the museums who submitted the pieces that could travel for helping make this process not necessarily easy, but easier to decide.
So 25 pieces.
Yeah, out of 1,100. That was not easy.
I can imagine. I know they're probably all amazing in their own way, all 25 of these, but I was wondering if you could just describe maybe one or two.
Well, I mean, that's... I've been working on this project for several years, and it's like trying to say, okay, which one of your kids is the best kid? It's like, they're all wonderful. If I had to pick one or two, I would have a very hard time. There are a couple of pieces that I really appreciate, like, for example, Gail Barker's Spruce Bark Beetle on the Move, where, you know, you think about how devastating the spruce bark beetle was to the whole peninsula, and you see them in an art form. You first were always mad at them, but then you see them in these pieces, which is collected by the Pratt, and you think, wait a minute, these are bugs that are trying to make a living too. But also, they affected our lives, not realizing how much they affected our lives. Another one is Terry Pyle's European Starling Pestilence. That one is, you know, bird is carrying an AK-47. You've got a volcano erupting. You've got a tornado. And, you know, it's like, well, what do we call pestilence? And so you can interpret many things into that. And then you've got, you know, Ron Sanungatuk's Aurora Borealis, where, you know, again, that's another Pratt Museum piece. And it's just, it's a stunning piece. It's a triptych that you look at. And you see that you could see the Aurora Borealis in that. And then you go to Alaska Native Art, and you've got fish skin bags, gut skin bags, or even Ken Lisborne's Summer Camp watercolor, where you've got, you know, a fun painting of a community in the past. Then you go along and you see Erica Lord's Blood Quantum that really makes you think about, hey, wait, how are we categorizing human beings? And what makes you wonder why indigenous peoples have to prove their blood quantum while no other races have to do that? You know, so I'm hoping that when you go through and look at this exhibit, you think about not just the social issues, the beauty, but the contemporary art that makes us think.
Sounds like an amazing assembly of art from around Alaska, very thought-provoking. I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. Why is this exhibit important?
Yeah, it's an important exhibit because it starts to show how diverse the arts are across Alaska and how the arts can actually connect all our communities, from raising awareness to celebrating culture to celebrating the nature and the beauty of Alaska to just celebrating, you know, life where you live. And, you know, thankfully for the Rasmussen to see this, and then in 2002 for them to say, okay, museums, I know you don't have the money to purchase objects. You rely on donations. How about we provide this fund where you can go out and purchase contemporary living artists who are in Alaska making art and help not just the economy, but help the museums continue to not just collect, but start to acquire art that they would not be able to do otherwise.
Some real vision there.
Yes. Yeah, and Michael Hotfield, one of your local guys, was right there in the midst of that. And, you know, it's just wonderful to have so many amazing people involved in this process and have such vision.
And you'll be here to talk a bit about the exhibit. When is that going to be? You want to let people know?
Yeah, I'm planning on coming up on March 17th to come and I want to see the show in Homer as well, but also, Scott asked me to do a presentation, and so I'll put something together to talk about the Living Alaska exhibit, but also another catalog that we're working on that talks about all the artists across Alaska that the Rasmussen Foundation has funded.
All right, I'll look forward to that. Is there anything else you'd like to let people know about this exhibit before we say goodbye?
No, I just welcome them to come and see the exhibit and enjoy.
All right, thanks, Sven.
All right, thank you, Tisha.
And you've been listening to Sven Hawkinson, the exhibit curator for Living Alaska, a decade of collecting contemporary art for Alaska museums. He's also the curator at the Burke Museum in Seattle and an associate professor of anthropology at the University of Washington now. And he picked out from 1,100 possible pieces, 25 to be in this show. So a lot of care and work went into putting this together quite clearly. And we're talking today about this show, which opens Friday, February 26th at the Pratt Museum here in Homer. And it's a collection of art by and for Alaskans. And as you just heard, put together by funds from the Rasmussen Foundation and collected since 2003. We're here with Scott Bartlett, the Pratt Museum curator, and Homer artist Marjorie Scholl this morning. Her piece is Traveling and will be displayed with this show. It's called Swift Creek. And I just want to give out the phone number again if you'd like to get involved in this conversation about art and ask some questions of the Pratt Museum curator and this local artist. Maybe you have questions about the Rasmussen Foundation and their funding of art. Our number here is 235-7721. And you can also call toll-free. That's 1-800-979-5224. And we'd love to hear from you if you have a comment or a question.
Sven was talking there about the diversity of art and artists across Alaska, and I also think we should bring that home and look at the diversity of art and artists in Homer and around Kachemak Bay, because not only is that represented in this exhibit, which is wonderful that there are so many pieces from the Pratt and from Kachemak Bay that are in there, but there's just a lot of great art and artists in our region. We have an extremely artistically rich community, and this is a celebration of that as well.
And Marjorie, did you want to chime in on that?
Marjorie's one of them.
Thanks, Scott. It just brought to mind when I was in high school, I had a friend travel Alaska, and he came back to San Francisco and threw me a salty dog hat and was like, "This town is for you. It's full of artists and full of boats." And at that time in high school, I just painted boats all the time, paintings of boats, 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 everything was all. So it was like a real serendipitous experience to end up here and have a career.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. That was my first impression of Homer, too. I came down here a few years ago when I first came to Alaska. I went to one of those Salmon Stock concerts, and then on one of the days I came down and I had never seen Homer before and just came to the top of the hill and I thought, oh my gosh, this is breathtaking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wandered around on the beach all day. And it really reminded me of my hometown, which is Port Townsend, Washington. Very similar. It's a little tinier mountains further in the distance, but that's a real art and creative community. And I felt that as soon as I came into Homer, just, you know, even the art that's on the buildings and you could just feel it.
It's an inspiring environment. You know, it's one of those things that it doesn't get old to look out your window. You know, there's so much creative energy and visual inspiration and just the feeling of the environment. And that's, you know, that's something that's reflected in this exhibit and in the section on environment. It's something that we strive to tell that story in the museum as well, that this is a magical, artistic, inspiring spiritual place.
Mm-hmm. So Alaska's art identity, it seems like all of the arts, you know, writing also happens here, which is, you know, an artistic endeavor in and of itself. And then we also have visual art, which we're talking about today. It seems like, you know, Alaska's a young state as far as this identity as a state. You know, of course, creative endeavors have been going on in Alaska since time immemorial, and that shows in this catalog and this exhibit as well with the Alaska Native art, which is so beautiful. But, you know, as a state, we are kind of developing an artistic identity, and Homer's certainly playing a role in that. How would you say the exhibit represents that?
Well, it certainly gathers a lot of great examples together. And I think the presence of this art acquisition fund does a lot to support that. Really encourages art to be created and purchased. You know, it's this entire program, the art acquisition fund supports artists. You know, the artwork ends up in museums, but the funds go to the artists to encourage work, to let them keep working. So it really is a unique program across the country. I don't think there's anything else like this in the lower 48. So it's a wonderful opportunity that Alaskans have that really no one else has.
And Marjorie, have you had your piece in this show. You've benefited from the Rasmussen Foundation doing this. Mm-hmm. And you've lived places where something like this doesn't exist. How important is that for artists to have that kind of support to do the work that they're really focused on?
Well, I think it's really validating to make a living doing something that you love. And I think that it was a massive boost to my career when the first painting was bought through Rasmussen. And to be in part of museums is mind-blowing. It's the step that you want to get to as an artist. And just having the few that have been bought it's just really fulfilling. That's what I think. I'm grateful.
And the museum is very, and I think every museum is very grateful to share this with the public. You know, it's not, it doesn't get locked up in collections forever. You know, it's there. The museum has it in collections so that we can share it. So it's on exhibit. It's not someone's, it's the public's. When something is acquired by the museum, it's acquired by the whole community.
All right, thanks for joining us. If you're just tuning in now, we're on art. We're talking about art on the coffee table, and we're talking about this display that's going to be on, this exhibit that's going to be on at the Pratt here locally in Homer. It's called Living Alaska, A Decade of Collecting Contemporary Art for Alaska Museums. It opens this Friday at the Pratt here in Homer. It's a collection of art by and for Alaskans, and it's funded by the Rasmussen Foundation.
which has supported the collection of the work since 2003. If you'd like to join the conversation and make a comment or ask a question, you can dial 235-7721. And you can also call toll-free if you're not right here in Homer and you happen to be listening. The number is 1-800-979-5224. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back with some more conversation. You're listening to The Coffee Table. We're talking art today here on KBBI AM 890 in Homer. And we're talking about this beautiful exhibit that's about ready to open here in Homer at the Pratt Museum. It's called Living Alaska, A Decade of Collecting Contemporary Art for Alaska Museums. And it's art by and for Alaskans. It was purchased by the Rasmussen Foundation since 2003. Lots of local Homer artists are going to be in this display, along with artists from all over the state. And so we have Scott Bartlett, the exhibit, or not exhibit curator, the Pratt Museum curator. Sven Hawkinson is the exhibit curator. And we also have Homer artist Marjorie Scholl, whose piece is traveling with this show called Swift Creek. And so we're going to talk to Marjorie about how she realized she wanted to be an artist.
Well, when I was young, I always admired the kids in class that had so much skill drawing. I never thought I could do that. I was way more into pretending that I could sing and dance. And then I had an amazing teacher in high school she was just really, she was my French teacher, and she taught a bunch of kids drawing, and seeing the work that was coming out of that class was like, I want to do that. Like, I think she can teach me how to do that. And she had some wonderful exercises that directly taught me how to make something three-dimensional when you're looking, I mean, making a three-dimensional object two-dimensional. And I used to feel anxious as a kid, and I didn't know what that feeling was. I would see the rolling hills, beautiful. And when I started drawing, when I was probably eighth grade, ninth grade, I realized when I would draw this beauty that it would ease that anxiety. And I thought, I figured it out. I figured out my key to happiness. And so that's how it began. And I just did that all throughout high school. Lots of drawing on my off time so that I felt, you know, and I would give them away as gifts to my friends. And it's really fulfilling. I would do drawings that would take me a month, and they'd be really intricate and really big. And it was just something that really made my family feel good. And I think they were happy at that point. Like, she found her way, what she's going to do. It's very cool.
So did you grow up in the Bay Area?
Yes.
And were you surrounded by artists? Was that something you ever thought you could be or not?
Well, my parents were very supportive. I lucked out on that. But my mom really pushed me to go to art school, and I really found my way at the San Francisco Art Institute. It was an extremely inventive environment. We were allowed to be in the classrooms all night, and I think that's what made things very creative. I mean, I learned how to be a professional artist there. They taught me how basically, if you add this equation by making a certain amount of artwork, recording it professionally, applying to places for shows, that's just the way you can sell. And I just followed that equation and was selling in college. And when I moved up here to pretty much get away from life, quote unquote, I found this town being extremely welcoming to be a professional artist. And so I stayed. Because
what was it about Homer that was so welcoming for you?
I think because of acquisitions like Rasmussen Foundation creating, and the people of Homer want to support artists, and they're willing to spend money on something that is considered a luxury. And I feel like it's because they value that it makes people feel complete to have real art. I mean, if you have a print of something, it's really beautiful, and it's the way that I used to think that's all I could have as a kid, like as a young adult, I would just have a print of this amazing art. But when I came up here and realized if I save my money, I could buy it. My first artwork I ever bought was a Nancy Aki painting, and it was like nothing ever, you know. And then I realized, this is how it feels. And so now I'm more encouraging. Come on, you want a painting? You don't think you can afford it? Start saving your money. I take payments, you know, just that. The real, and people are so grateful here. They just know how to slow down and really appreciate life. So I think that helps when it comes to artists making a living.
Art on layaway. I like that idea. And so you said you worked a lot at night when you were in school. Do you still do that?
Yes, I have. Well, I have two kids, and so I really just try to make sure I'm always an artist. And so there has been times that I paint throughout the night. And I taught dance for 15 years, and a lot of that choreography would happen in the middle of the night. But it's really fulfilling. I never needed very much sleep. Like, ever since I was a kid, like 5 hours was plenty. So it really works out for me. And I figure when they're grown, and I'm coming to the end of the tunnel on that one, I can just live more normally and work as an artist during the day and sleep at night.
And you said you came to Alaska to was it to get away from life?
You know, I just had some changes. And when I visited, I saved a lot of money this one year and just had a lot of changes where my job was questionably not where I wanted to be. I used to cook through college. And a boyfriend that I dated for years, we broke up. And this kid that worked under me at this restaurant was like, Margie, you've made a bunch of money. It's time for you to go to Alaska. Because I told you that original kid that showed me, I always had this romantic dream of Homer. I thought it was called the Homer Spit because that's what the hat said. So I was like, I'm going to Homer Spit. And until I looked at the map, of course, and figured out Alaska and exactly where I wanted to be. But it just turned out that everyone was very welcoming. And Lorraine Haas, who owned a dance studio for years, she's an amazing teacher of dance. We both are tap dancers, which is rare. She really encouraged me to make a career out of teaching dance. And I think that was my first step in, that I could live here past my 3-week vacation. Like, I just immediately tried to dance in her studio to get, you know, the rhythms out. And she was like, well, you'll have to be starting. I'm retiring and you need to teach these kids. So that was the beginning of saying, hey, maybe I can get a job here in Alaska and start a family. You know, hopefully. I didn't know anyone at that point, but I did meet my kid's dad then.
And so, when was that?
That was in 1998 when we met. So I lived here for a year. I used to cook at Land's End, and that's where we met. And we had a wonderful life raising our kids. Beautiful.
Let's talk a little bit about your technique. I mentioned earlier that when I was looking through the catalog, I was checking out your beautiful painting, Swift Creek, and I couldn't tell whether it was made with tiles or whether it was painted or what was going on there. It was kind of like tricking my mind, all the textures. So let's talk about your technique. I'll let you explain.
All right, well, I try to use, like probably many painters, thin, transparent layers. And some of my professors at school were basically saying, you know, I was like, how many layers do you do? 100? Like, more like thousands. So I just opened my brain to that. Okay, I need to just put paint on these paintings. And a lot of advice I would get is stay with your painting. So I really try not to produce. My brain wants to just produce shows and make that do shows, like, but I try to really slow down and make each work, you know, as complete as possible. So with those layers, you can see they're clear. I try to make it not so shiny, which is that the mediums I use are very irresistible when they're glossy. It's just like what I love. But if I mat them out a little, it's easier to see, and it's not as distracting to see the glare. And so you put a little bit of color in each of those clear mediums, and then it will really show dynamic. And it's sort of what it's what we see in normal life, is this magic of thin, transparent layers. Like, when you look at your skin, there's so many different colors in each person's face. And then if you're copying that idea on a two-dimensional space, that's how you get the tricks of what looks three-dimensional. Yes, Scott.
And the pieces that I'm familiar with by you, the piece that's traveling, Swift Creek, they're also larger than life. Mm-hmm. They're huge canvases, so you kind of fall into them. They're really dramatic and suck you into the images. I think that's an important aspect.
So I didn't have any sense of that when looking at the catalog. How big is this piece?
69 by 49 inches, I'm pretty sure. I did that whole series the same exact size, so I remember that.
Really big.
I've seen really, really, really big Dacia. It's incredible. Like, some people, a whole room full of a massive painting. I don't even know how they can gather the gumption to, like, approach onto it. So I would love to do something bigger like that if I ever had a big space to work.
All right. So that sounds like maybe where you want to go with your painting. So let's talk a little bit about that. Where do you want to go? What are some of your goals, and where do you want to take your technique?
Well, I think a lot of times I struggle with completing something that I think that the crowd will want to see, instead of really doing what is more subconscious. And when I draw, I'm more subconscious. So I think that my ideas are more unique when I'm drawing, and I really like cross-hatching. And so what I'd love is to merge my painting skills, which is harder to cross-hatch. You have to be really thin little lines, and with a brush, it's much harder than a pen. And so that's kind of my goal, is to merge my drawing technique with my paintings and become even more, have a more original voice than what I've completed so far.
And maybe larger.
Maybe. Yeah. I like doing little sometimes, too. It depends on how tired I am. Like, oh, if I've done a big one for a long time, it's nice to just sit at the table and focus. So I mix it up. I go back and forth.
All right. So, Scott, I'm going to go back to you. Can you update us on what's going on with the Pratt? We've heard some things that they're trying to get into a new space, and maybe this is down the road a little bit, but where are things?
Well, we are still in a capital campaign for our new building, which has we've done design development, and we're just closing in on getting the construction drawings done this spring. But as it won't be any surprise to anyone that the state of funding in the state right now is a little bit kind of causing us to look at our timeline. So right now we're sort of looking at how that timeline is going to play out. So we don't have an exact date right now, but maybe in the next couple months we'll have a little more of a fleshed out, updated plan.
Okay. And first, for people who are new to Homer or just don't know, can you tell them where the Pratt is and what that space is like right now?
Sure. We're on the Pratt Museum's on Bartlett Street, just at the lower end of Bartlett Street, and we're on about a 9-plus acre campus, which has forested walking trails. And we have permanent exhibits on Kachemak Bay and exploration of people and place, as well as a marine gallery, which is very, very popular and open for, we do fish feeding twice a week there. Lots of kids come by on Tuesday and Fridays for that. We have an art gallery downstairs and a stewardship gallery, and then our special exhibits gallery, which is, as we mentioned, currently hosting or soon to be opening this Friday, hosting Living Alaska.
I dropped by there once, but I think I must have come on the day you're closed. Is it Mondays you're closed?
During the wintertime, we are Tuesday through Saturday.
Yeah, must have been Monday.
During the summer, it's 7 days. It's a little easier.
And it is a beautiful campus there. So, I mean, it's quite large. Mm-hmm. The building itself isn't humongous. Would the new building be on that property there?
Yeah, it will be. We're actually going to be building behind to the west of the current museum. Having such a large property makes it really, really convenient. But so we're going to be building a new building and then able to migrate our collections. This is one of the driving forces behind the whole capital project is to make better facilities for conservation and preservation of artifacts and artworks. So we'll build and then move into that facility. And we're actually part of a coalition of arts organizations that are we're working with the Homer Council on the Arts to look at how to repurpose that existing building, actually, to make a more of an arts and culture campus, which is very exciting. That's also part of a Woodard Creek project. We're on the creek there, and in fact we're having an open house this evening at 5 o'clock at the museum around the Woodard Creek Coalition and that project. So I invite everyone to come by to that as well.
Yeah, I read that on the community calendar last night, and I didn't quite understand the details of that. What is that all about?
Well, the coalition is numerous stakeholders, organizations, and property owners that want to preserve Woodard Creek and make it a healthy creek habitat. Encourage best practices around the creek and use it as a site for education and to beautify the community, and a lot of that comes to encouraging land use, environmentally conscious land use around the creek. So as part of the Pratt's capital project, we look towards opening up daylighting the creek that runs through a culvert under our parking lot right now, which is sort of a sad thing to think about, and also a big flood hazard during major rain events.
Like right now?
Yeah. No emergencies recently.
Good. So what time is that, and what can people expect if they show up to this Woodard Creek celebration?
Celebration this evening is 5 to 7 at the Pratt Museum downstairs. There'll be food, and there will be maps and interactives about the property and the the future of the creek, you know, some of the plans that the coalition is putting together for the creek.
So people can learn more about that project.
It's exciting.
Yeah. So a big week for you. You have that tonight and then Friday
and
the opening.
And then the opening on Friday.
So how long will this exhibit be here? So if people don't happen to be here Friday or they want to come back and keep looking at it, bring friends, how long is that going?
It'll be up through April 23rd. It's a nice long run. And Sven Håkansson will be here on March 17th to talk about the exhibit a little more from his perspective as the exhibit curator.
Nice. Well, if you'd like to get in a question or a comment about art in Homer, and if you have a question about Living Alaska or the Rasmussen Foundation or the Pratt Museum or how to become an artist in Homer, we have people here to take your questions. Or if you just like to comment, our number here is 235-7721. We also have a toll-free number, 1-800-979-5224.
You know, you're talking about the... when you ask about the capital project, that ties into long-term exhibit planning and the artwork that are going to be part of that'll be incorporated with the permanent exhibits in our new facility and in our current facility. And I think this ties right back into the art acquisition fund, because the works that the artwork that's in the Pratt's collection, it's really collected because it follows the museum's mission. And it addresses the themes that are interpreted more, you know, more didactically in other exhibits. So that's one reason we have such a strong collection, and maybe that it's so well represented in this traveling exhibit, is because it's really tied to our environment, to our place, and to understanding this community.
And just as an example, I was looking through the catalog here, and I mean, there is everything in this show from a pair of extra tufts. I mean, a gorgeous painting of extra tufts here. That's by Carla Klinker Cope.
Another Homer artist.
To a pen and ink, I mean, very beautiful technical. Pen and ink drawing of Musk Ox by Gail, I'm not sure if I'm saying her name right, but Nybruge, I'm going to guess. And then these incredible modern pieces. I mean, I guess they're all contemporary, but, you know, this piece with the giant that we heard, the giant starling that we heard Sven describing, European Starling Pestilence by Terry Piles, that just... Oh, you know, a volcano exploding, a tornado, and starling's holding an AK-47. I mean, it really is, you know, it's unexpected, you know.
I think there's another number of pieces in that. You know, I mentioned the three galleries on environment and Alaska Native art and contemporary Alaska. A number of those pieces about contemporary Alaska really, you know, talk about this confluence of, you know, this vast landscape we have, but also, you know, business and commerce and living in cities in Alaska, and, you know, how that contemporary life develops.
And it looks like we have a caller. We have Michael on line one with a comment or question for us here. Michael, welcome to the coffee table. Hi, Michael, did you have a question or a comment?
Well, I just had a comment. First of all, I wanted to thank all of you for bringing this topic up to the public's ears, and hopefully you'll have a wonderful opening. We're going to be leaving that day, but I'll definitely get back and see the show. The Pratt Museum was one of the first things that really drew me to Homer, and then I had the wonderful opportunity to be able to teach and be a principal nearby in Vosnesenka. And I just wanted to say that I noticed the comment about learning from your teacher, the artist there that she mentioned the influence of a teacher, and I think that's really important too. Homer has always had a really strong arts program, arts, music, and drama, and you know, with all these budget cuts and things that are going on, it's going to be something that the public is going to have to really work hard to support and keep going, because I imagine administrators and things are going to be under a lot of pressure to look for ways to you know, make their budgets tighter, and I'm really concerned about that, because I think the arts and music and drama are really important parts that also build the entire human person and also contribute to math, science, and everything else. And I think MIT, for one, is one that really pointed that out, because they make their engineering students and people take art classes right off from the beginning before they really go full tilt into the science and engineering areas. So I'm really excited about this show, and thank you all for contributing to it.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for calling in. It looks like we have another call. It looks like we have Asia Freeman on line two. Hi, Asia.
Hi. Thanks for this wonderful coffee table, and thanks to the museum staff and to KBBI for hosting it, and also to Michael Murray for calling in with that really wonderful and relevant comment about the stake that we all have in perpetuating the kind of rich educational opportunities that our kids have in Homer between the arts and sciences, which are so beautifully exemplified at the Pratt. I'm so excited about this exhibit. I saw it at the Anchorage Museum, and it's really astounding. I think it made me really proud of the Pratt's acquisitions, which has, there are several key pieces in the show, and they're featured beautifully. It made me reflect also on the strength of Pratt's mission and the way that it's helped acquisitions committee focus its recommendations to collections, so that we have works which exemplify so well our sense of place, our sense of creativity, our profound environmental commitment as a community. So I hope to see a lot of people there on Friday night. Very exciting. Thank you.
Thank you, Asia. Thanks for calling in. So a little excitement brewing out there for your show.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, and I also have to thank Michael for that comment about arts education, and also to tie it back to I was mentioning earlier the interpretive exhibits at the museum and how the art is connected to that, and that they're, you know, arts really provide a complementary way of understanding the world. It's not laid out for you literally, but it makes you think. You know, the art makes you think, and it makes you consider and understand. And it's also a social experience. You know, it's not cold and tucked away. It's, you know, you should come in. I hope everyone comes to the museum with their friends and look at art and talk about what you see. Talk about what it makes you think. What it reminds you of. You know, that's how it can inspire. One way that it can inspire and you know, provoke conversation.
I also notice the artists in this town are very generous, because with the concern of budget cuts, what I've noticed right with my kids going to school is the artists step in and give their time to teach. You know, Anna Iredale has been amazing with my kids teaching for free, and it's just very, that's the way we're compensating, is like, let's give our time for free to these schools, and maybe, you know, people will compensate them in the future by hiring them to teach again. But yeah, that is a real crying shame to see the art programs cut and dance and stuff. So I like the way that the artists are just like, let's just make this happen anyway, which I don't think happens everywhere. Definitely only seen it here in Homer. So it's pretty cool.
So Scott, this starts on Friday. What time should people show up?
and what can they expect? Let's let them know before we say goodbye here on the coffee table.
Sure. Living Alaska is opening this Friday, the 26th at the Pratt. There's an opening reception from 5 to 7 p.m. And there'll be some people from the Rasmussen Foundation coming down from Anchorage to help us open the show. And it should be, we'll have some welcomes and words about the collection and the history of the project. And so we're very, very much looking forward to having them here as well to help us open that.
And will some local artists be, I mean, I guess you probably can't avoid having local artists. They're everywhere. No. But will some of the artists that are in the show be there as well?
Yeah.
Are you planning on being there, Marjorie?
Yeah.
Excellent. So if you want to meet Marjorie, you can show up on Friday and take a look at her work and ask her about it. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for joining us, and Marjorie. And this has been The Coffee Table on KBBI AM 890. I'm Daisha Eaton.